morning's scripture reading is from Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men came from the east, came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we observed his star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him. And calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judah, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah, for from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.'" Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, "Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word so that I may also go and pay him homage." When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chests, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road. Bless the reading of today's word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I am what you would call a sign person. I remember that I decided to go to Pitt instead of Penn State because when I was touring the Cathedral of Learning, it looked and felt like Hogwarts to me, and my 17-year-old self decided, hey, this is a sign that I should go here. Since I'm a sign person, I really love Epiphany. What we're celebrating today, it seems completely logical to me that people would see a star and follow it, and there would be Jesus. According to Matthew, magi, or wise ones, from the east saw a sign, a star, that the King of the Jews was to be born. When they told King Herod, their boss, he told them to go to Bethlehem. They followed the star till it led them to the place where Jesus was. When they saw Jesus, they worshiped him. Then another sign, this time a dream, warned them not to go back to King Herod, so they returned home by another route. I think signs are one of those things that we appreciate a little bit more as we get a little bit older. Signs, or interruptions in our regular routines, they remind us to pay attention to things that we would otherwise ignore. Signs give us something to point to when we aren't sure whether we should go left or right, or even stop and pause for a second. But more importantly, they give us hope that we are all somehow connected. Someday we are going to look back on this confusing moment with clarity. Now, I know not everyone is a sign person. Some of you prefer logic and facts and rules. You remember last year on the Sunday before Epiphany, I slid a star word into all of your bulletins. This word was meant to be a sign for you, a word you could meditate on in the coming year as you continued your journey of discipleship. Many of you approached me either after the service or a couple months later and accused me of rigging the bulletins. Because how else could you have gotten exactly the word you needed in 2019? All I can say is that the Holy Spirit works in mysterious ways. I mean, take for example, my 2020 star word is energy, which I'm sure I'm going to have a lot to say about in 2021. But in 2019, I had a different word. My word was selflessness. I remember going a little bit pale as I read this word. Couldn't I have gotten an easier word? Like peace, or generosity, or maybe even hospitality. Nope, I got the word I didn't want, which turned out to be exactly the word I needed. When I look back on 2019, it will always be the year that I learned how to pastor two congregations. I know I've said this before, but there are a lot of blessing that comes with having two churches. For example, last year I got to do double the weddings, double the baptisms, and even double the church potlucks than I did when I only had one church. But I also got to do double the funerals, double the finance meetings, and double the anxiety about the future of our churches. It was in those moments when the doubling was hard, when my star word came in handy. To be selfless is to put other people's needs above your own, to treat other people the way that you would want to be treated. I've learned in this past year that that doesn't mean saying yes to everything, but it does mean always choosing what is right instead of what feels easy. It means shouldering the heaviest burden first and setting it down last. In this past year, I've learned that selflessness is a concrete way that you can demonstrate your love for other people. It's also a way to enable other people to accomplish great things through your service to them. And our churches have accomplished great things in the last year. On the other side of town, at Mount Nebo, we buried 6 saints. We fixed our roof. We mopped and we scrubbed the basement floor within an inch of its life when it flooded over the summer. We served 200 meals at our strawberry festival, and we provided food and gifts for 33 local families. Here at Glenshaw Valley, we hosted 2 weddings, a 50th vow renewal, a baptism, and a funeral. We had 4 craft shows, a church picnic, multiple church fellowships, a community Thanksgiving dinner, and we provided gifts for 8 local families. Friends, none of this would have happened without the selflessness of innumerable volunteers in our church families. You know which people I'm talking about. The people who come early, who stayed late, and who washed more dishes than I wash in a year. The folks who figured out how to split Board of Pension dues between 2 congregations, fill out the paperwork to make direct deposit possible, and who got like 6 estimates on flooring that we need to fix our flooring in Fellowship Hall, not here, the other church. Friends, your selflessness inspires me to show up for the challenging parts of pastoring 2 churches. Friends, you'll notice in your bulletin for this morning, you too have been given a star word. If your bulletin doesn't have a star word in it, grab an extra bulletin on your way out. That one should have a word in it. I included them because I hope this word will be a sign to you as you navigate this new year and this new decade. I hope this sign will remind you that God's glory is often made manifest where we least expect it. That God does not only reveal things to the wise and the intelligent, But God does whatever it takes to reach out to God's people. As you wrestle with, as you meditate on your 2020 star word, I hope you will remember that God's radical grace is wondrously frightening. What I mean by that is you should maybe go a little bit pale as you read your word. Remember, the Magi studied the night sky not knowing where it would lead them or if it would lead to anything. And once they found the star, they had to choose between their allegiance to their boss, King Herod, or their allegiance to God. Friends, one of the things I love about our Epiphany text for this morning is that it teaches us that the alternative to receiving God's grace is to reject it, to become like King Herod, who becomes so threatened by and so paranoid of this little baby that in the next chapter, he's going to order that all babies under 2 in Bethlehem are killed. This Epiphany, we celebrate that God's glory manifests itself where we least expect it, and that God continues to reach out to us, even and especially during these last few days of Christmas. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen.